Dear friends, we shall continue our study about that war in heaven and try to understand how it affects us more directly. We have seen that prayer mobilized angels, and we know that angels are celestial beings God has devoted to man's salvation. So, we'll try to know a little more about it. The issue is critical, as we have already seen earlier in this chapter 12, where the dragon drew a third of the stars in his fall. So, one third of the angels were drawn in Satan's fall. Now, this indeed gives us an idea on the angels' freedom. Angels are not robots to do good. They had their own freedom and were able to choose. In the book of Job, where we see Satan discussing with God, it is clear that those he seeks to seduce are the angels. So, the fact that he has drawn them with his tail, which you can read in Revelation 12, verse 4, and with reference to Isaiah 9:15, shows that he lied when speaking about God. And finally, in this fight, many celestial beings were caught up. It also means that the seduction was that serious to be able to deceive celestial beings. And we saw that this fight started since very ancient times. However, the episode described here leads to a certain end. Because at that point, Satan has already been cast out of heaven. But when did this episode take place? Well, we shall try to understand it through the same text, that is, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And we'll see the different elements that allow us to establish the period of this particular fight. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So, the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Here we learn that the episode of the serpent, you know, that serpent in the Garden of Eden, is an old episode. It is said, the serpent of old. It is understood that there are already quite a lot of people because Satan deceives the whole world. It is question here of an episode that cannot have taken place in the first moments of mankind's history. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation has come. Well, saying that salvation has now come means that Jesus has come. Actually, this episode is in line with what we have already seen since the beginning of the previous paragraph of Revelation chapter 12, where we are told about the birth of Jesus and the dragon seeking to destroy him from birth. And from there on, the battle against Jesus continues, and it has been going on. But here we are told that salvation has come. And salvation precisely did come when Christ died on the cross. Satan was cast down and salvation established. And strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but we are told in this verse 11 that these brothers overcame him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Christ shed his blood. And so, the precise time of Satan's defeat, the time when the brothers could also have victory over the enemy, over Satan, it's at the cross, the time when Christ shed his blood. So the specific episode when Satan and his angels are cast down from heaven to the earth is exactly when Christ died on the cross, even though Satan appeared to be victorious. In fact, it was there that he really lost the battle. At the very moment the spear of the Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus, at that very moment, Satan himself received a terrible blow which cast him down to the earth. From that time on, he knows that he has a short time. That's what we read hereafter. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. The devil has a short time. You may say that this has been going on for 2,000 years now, but his days are numbered. His fate is sealed. From that time on, victory is achieved. And victory is achieved not only for Jesus, but also for all those who choose to follow Jesus. And basically, this is a real demonstration before the whole universe. I'd like to go back a little in verse 8. It tells us about the impact of this demonstration on the angel who joined the rebellion. Revelation chapter 12, verse 8. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. What does it mean, no place was found for them in heaven, for Satan and his angels? There is still room in heaven, but in reality, in the good angel's heart, there is no place anymore. Demonstration has been made. Satan has revealed his malignity, and Jesus has proved his goodness. He demonstrated precisely what Satan questioned, the revelation of an unconditional love. Even though there was a risk for his fate, he went through it all to the end. And there, in the angels' hearts, doubts are swept. There is no place for Satan. And I dare say that even if Satan would return to heaven, he would have no credibility in heaven's society. The ideas have prevailed. No need to say, maybe Satan could have some excuses. No. No more credibility, and therefore we have to face facts that ideas have triumphed at the cross. For example, the fact that unconditional love exists, the fact that Satan has nothing to offer, the fact that love exists, that victory over sin exists, the fact that a man, if he follows Jesus, can live a Christ-like life, can leave the law faultless without failing. So, I'd like to tell you that the cross is a real turning point. A turning point not only for humans, but a turning point for the entire universe. Satan has no place anymore. He has no room in the heart of the angels. Now, let's proceed and understand how important it is to look through the text and learn more and more. When Jesus, in the prayer he taught his disciples, talks about the kingdom of God, he tells us in some way what this kingdom of God is. Well, we read in verse 10 of our text, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God have come.'" Now, one could ask, but when did the kingdom of God start? Doesn't God reign for all eternity? Of course he reigns for all eternity. But what would a reign mean if there is no subjects? Thus, the kingdom of God is effective only when the heart is completely won, completely subjected to his king. Well, since the cross, the heart of the angels who chose to stay with the Lord is fully committed to the Lord, and God reigns. So, if I go back to the same idea about the prayer Jesus taught, we read the following in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Matthew 6, 9, 10. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come" means that the reign of God is not yet come, but the kingdom is the reign of God in our hearts. And that reign in the hearts is being enlightened by what follows in the text. What is it? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. When God's will is done in man's life as it is in heaven, then we may say that God reigns on earth as he reigns in heaven. You know, Satan's force is something true for the universe, but that is also true for all of us. I would like to recall Jesus' words in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjected to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You see, Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven. Each time the truth triumphs in our heart, each time the inanity of Satan's idea is demonstrated. Whenever God's thoughts occupy a heart, Satan falls. And Satan can fall because of each one of us. Thus, for the heavenly society, Satan's fall became evident at Jesus' death. So it can also happen for each one of us too. Now I would like to bring forward a final element. In the text before us, we saw that there is joy in heaven because God reigns, but woe to the earth because the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Well, this victory that was won in heaven can be won on earth, and it shall be won on earth. If we move on to chapter 18 of Revelation, then we will see great rejoicing because there is victory both in heaven and on earth. Revelation 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Reference is made here to the fall of Babylon, and at the fall of Satan from heaven, heaven rejoices. But at the fall of Babylon, which we'll study a few sessions later, at the fall of Babylon, both heaven and earth rejoice. This means that Babylon represented Satan on this earth, and this victory is the victory of testimony. It is the victory of each individual in his own heart. But can we keep silent if our life is changed? Can we hold our tongue, not proclaiming this victory? This is what the text makes plain. Let's go back to our text of Revelation 12. Let's read it together. And let's look at what prompted this victory. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Certainly, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, but they also overcame by the word of their testimony. So, we must give testimony. Well, when I say we must, in fact, if our life is changed, we cannot do otherwise. We not only talk about it, we show it. We show it through every deed of our lives. And at that moment, risk no longer counts. Look at what is said by the word of their testimony, so much so that they did not love their lives to the death. Here lies the victory Jesus gives us. It is a victory over death, and even more, the victory over the fear of death. Knowing that Christ overcame, we no longer have to be afraid of death. Fear of death is the means by which Satan holds us prisoner. I invite you to read from the Epistle to the Hebrews what we are told about this. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yes, fear of death keeps us in bondage. Isn't it fear that makes us stagger, walk along the sideways, take shortcuts? Fear of lacking, fear of dying, but of course fear of seeming backward, fear of being late, fear of being far, short. All these fears keep us prisoners and cause us to stumble. So, the victory we have is in Christ is a victory over fear. It is a victory of love over fear. It is the victory of love that is without interest, unconditional. May this victory be for us all. You see, If this victory takes place in each of our hearts, then and only then shall we be able to say, as in heaven, where Satan and his angels have no more room. Satan's ideas, Satan's thought, the enemy's sophistry, the charges, all these have no impact anymore. And all these have no interest anymore. Because in the heart, the victory is achieved. There is no more place for anything else. And we can say the same for everything relating to earthly things. We find the same expression at the end of the Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And there was found no place for them. It is not simply that the former heaven and the former earth pass away, but all earthly ideas, all earthly wisdom, all earthly thoughts have no place anymore. No more issues of interest, no more power issues, no more question of priority. Satan has no place anymore. It is God, God's thoughts that occupy all the space. So God invites us to leave these things already now on this earth.